Good evening, and thank you for joining us, the Voice of Many podcast, with your host Yolanda and co-host Vanessa. This afternoon, we have the privilege of having with us a returning guest, Ms. Jenny Toe. Tonight, she is going to speak with us about communication in a relationship, the blame game. And just let me tell you a little bit about Jenny. Jenny is actually a Christian life coach, and she is a director of River Life Coaching in Singapore. She coaches individuals and align their career and their life goals with the values and strengths, so to help them be a better person as a whole. Without further ado, I am going to bring to you, we're going to bring to you, Ms. Jenny Toe. Welcome to the mic. Welcome to our podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, Yolanda. Hi, Vanessa. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I know it's we were talking about doing a return episode and all of us are excited. I remember when we said that we finally nailed this date, we all did the virtual happy dance separately. So I'm really glad to be here. Yeah, I'm really glad to be
here. Thank you. Thank you. So, like I said, I know we're going to talk about communication and relationships. So we'll let you take it from there and we'll join in.
Sure, sure. So I won't take credit for the pointers that I'm sharing here about difficult conversations. I've been reading this old book that was first published in 1999. It was part of the Harvard Negotiation Project. So it's called Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most. So it's written by Douglas Stone, Bruce Patton, and Sheila Heen. So check it out. I don't get any, you know, bonuses or commissions from this. I think it's just an amazing book. And many people have used this book to address difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. So difficult conversations can come up anywhere. It can happen between, you know, spouses, parent, child, work situations, between colleagues, managers, and people in governments have used this book to talk about those difficult conversations as well. So it's really amazing. What the authors do is they drill down the kind of like the structure of what is a difficult conversation. What are the things that happen within there? So the first one is the what happened here structure. Mm. So in every difficult conversation, there is a what happened here. So that's like my perception of what happened here and Vanessa's mm-hmm. perception of what happened here. That means our stories. So in a way, we think our stories are the truth, right? Then we feel like, oh, okay, you know, this is my way of looking at it. However, Vanessa has her own way of looking at it. So right. That's one aspect. And this is the part where the blame comes in as well, because, you know, if I believe my story so strongly and Vanessa doesn't see it my way, then it's Vanessa's fault, right? So that's the blame. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to dive into that. So the second structure of it is the feelings conversation. So after we know, mm-hmm. like, this is my story, this is your story, what are the feelings behind it? I feel hurt, I feel angry, Vanessa feels misunderstood. So there's a lot of feelings going on. And one of the pitfalls in a difficult conversation, we push aside feelings, especially in a professional workplace. We brave through, we don't address the feelings. So either we bottle it up, it becomes resentment. It hinders our relationship going forward because we are already angry, but we don't say it. Or the opposite effect is you say it, you explode. Then yeah. That's not good as well, both professionally and personally. And finally, there is the identity part of that conversation. So what is at stake here? What part of your identity is at stake here? So for example, in a marriage, if you have a difficult conversation, is your identity as being the good wife? So if your husband says, I noticed the dishes aren't cleaned yet, unwashed yet, you know, what were you doing at home all day? You know, if you're, you know, at home all day, ooh, that's the identity. Are you saying I'm not a good wife? You know, something like that, right? Yes. Something like that. And if you tell your husband, okay, you know, I'm really tired, can you look after the kids? His identity of being a good father is probably challenged because it's like, you know, my wife doesn't understand me. I work so hard. And then, you know, I know this is quite the traditional way of looking at husband works, wife stays at home. Nowadays, everything's different. It could be father staying at home, wife works. Yeah, but basically that last part is a deeper level. Mm-hmm. What part of your identity is at stake here. It's not mentioned. We don't even know it sometimes. It's a very subconscious thing. So that's how you have it. So in a difficult conversation, you've got the what happened part of it, then you've got the feelings part of it, and then underlying on that, what part of your identity is at stake. So I'm not saying it happens this way, but these are just nice. I think it's very nice structure for you to think about, you know, when you have a difficult conversation.
Okay, I definitely agree, can see that 100%, because even with our kids, with our kids having situations at school that do not go well, and someone ratted on them or something happened in class, you know, we hear their story first, and we want to either blame the teacher or blame the person that, you know, made them upset. And like you say, we have to hear both sides. And I know it's great for you being an attorney, having to, prioritize those feelings and being able to understand the underlying condition of both people. You know, they're being able to believe what they say, you know, and then want to put the blame on the other person. We do that so easily that we forget a lot of times that we don't have the whole picture. You know, there's always two sides of every story. Vanessa?
We will never have the whole picture. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot like that saying, you don't know what someone else is going through until you put your feet in their shoes type of situation, because most of the time when we have an argument or a difficult conversation, we forget about that, how the other person feels, what they might be going through, and if their current situation has changed their view of how the entire conversation went with us, and that can affect everything.
Yes, that's I definitely agree that. And it's about empathy, right? It's not saying that, you know, I fully understand, but at least, like you said, put yourself in the other person's shoes, and then you can kind of relate. You can never fully understand what that person is going through, but you can kind of relate. So Yolanda, like your example, you know, a student is having a difficult time, you may be able to relate because you were a student once, but being a student, you know, my time as compared to how my daughters and sons are going through school now is completely different. But at least you can kind of relate to the frustrations, like when a friend says something hurtful to your daughter, you know, you had that experience as well, and how do you deal with it? I know as parents, we always want to help. We always want to get our child feeling better. We move into solution mode very quickly. Then we miss out that part, right? The feelings part of that conversation, because we kind of like dismiss that feeling because we don't like to see our child being hurt. But it's important for our child to just, you know, definitely go through those feelings as well.
Yeah. And then too, I want to add the relationship. Whenever a couple is, you know, having the communication problems, you know, one sees it one way, one sees it another, it's really important that we take that time to step back and breathe and observe and, you know, try to figure out exactly what really happened and do the role reversal, putting yourself in the other person's shoes, like Vanessa said, to be able to see it from their point of view. And then come back, like we say, the rule of 72, waiting 72 hours before you pass that judgment on someone is very important.
Yeah. And on that note of judgment, that's where blame comes from. So there is a lovely quote in the book that says that blame is about judgment and looking back. So you're looking at the past actions, the past words that are said. So that's blame. So they suggest that in order to move forward in a difficult conversation, don't use the blame game. Move towards contribution. So I'll talk a bit about what they mean by contribution. So contribution is about understanding the other person's story, also understanding your story, taking into account, you know, your feelings and what part of your identity is at stake here, and then looking forward. So in every situation, we contribute to it. It may, so don't get obsessed about, oh, did I contribute 50% or 45% to it, or did my husband contribute more? No, it's more like understanding in every situation, you know, about this washing dishes example that I put there. Your husband contributed, you know, to it by asking that question, and then you yourself contributed to it because you were really tired that day, you were really feeling low, and you didn't want to do the dishes. So there's no element of blame here. It's just that what part do we play in this story? You know, how much of it is also, you know, part of our actions, part of our decisions, and it's coming to a level of understanding. Yeah, so it's opening up that conversation to understand what actually happened here.
Mm-hmm. And then also too, looking at the positive, like you said, instead of always the negative, we got to, you know, turn situations around. Everything can't always be bad. Everything can't always be good. But we have a tendency to hold on to that negativity where we're unable to grow and have that chance to look at the picture differently. So it's good to just step back and say, well, for instance, with washing the dishes. Well, if he's willing to wash the dishes, well, maybe I'm willing to look at how hard he worked. You know, he came home, look at he's providing, you know, find out how his day went, run the bath water for him, you know, simple things, you know, that way it gives them a chance to say, well, wow, she went out the way to do this for me. You know, we have to start pulling in the positive instead of always the negative.
And then sometimes as women, we have this assumption, especially in a marriage, right? Or in any relationship involving the opposite sex, it's almost thinking like, you know, if he loves me or he knows me that well, he should know what I'm thinking. Right. You know, I fell into that pitfall in my early years of marriage. Like, you know, he should know what I'm thinking. Why doesn't he know? So, you know, I've consciously moved from the he should know to he doesn't know if I don't tell him.
You gotta tell him.
Yeah. So, and I also consciously use the word I, because, you know, if you use the word you should know how tired I am. There's a blame there. And then he gets defensive. So I have to be vulnerable and admit that, you know, I'll go and tell him that today has been a hard day. I really feel tired. And, you know, there's so many things happening, you know, and just start that off and then ask how his day. So it's not like to go into a complaint session, but at least you've already framed it to say that today's been a hard day. I'm feeling, you know, ABC, and then, you know, gauge how he's feeling. And then at least hopefully you come from a place of better understanding and rather than, you know, rubbing each other the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's true too. I like the word you put in there, complaining, because a lot of times, and I hate to say men, but and women do it too. Whenever we say, well, I've had this kind of day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say, oh, you're complaining. You never have anything positive to say. But we need to be able to express ourselves. And it's so important that we do that. And without expressing ourselves, that starts the snowball effect where we go into the blame game. We go into, like you say, the very first one, where we have our thoughts of what the other person of our story, this is my story, I believe my story, I'm sticking to it, that we go into that defense mode. So that's very good, very good.
Vanessa. Yeah, and it's also about intention. So I'm recalling just a recent episode with my middle daughter. She loves sweets, right? And I was thinking, okay. So one day, I think she was making quite a lot of snacks before dinner. And I told her, maybe I was just a bit busy and all that. I told her without too much, I guess, too much tech. I said, can you stop eating your sweets? Because dinner time is happening in half an hour. And her face just fell. It's almost like mom's taking away something I really enjoy, and then, you know, mom's like, you know, really curtailing what I want to do, and she felt like her rights were, you know, infringed. I know it's a very small thing for us. Then I noticed that, oh, after that dinner time, she was very sullen, and to me it was just something I said without thinking much. So the intention is good. I don't want her to eat so much sweets because I want her to be able to finish dinner and to maintain a healthy diet. So all good things, right? For her, I think it's probably she was very tired from a long day at school, and having sweets was a way to treat herself. And then mom didn't understand, what she went to. Because you see, there's a lot of behind that simple conversation. It's almost like that conversation itself is just the tip of the iceberg. What's going on behind my intentions for her well-being? And then she just wanted to relax and chill and have sweets so that it will make her afternoon feel better. But then after that dinner time, it was trying to do damage control, and I found it really hard because there was, definitely some unsettled, upset feelings then. And so you can imagine, if I had taken the time and asked her, I see that you're quite quiet today and you seem to be, snacking a bit, can you tell me what's on your mind, right? So you see, that takes time. Instead of me saying, can you stop eating sweets because dinner time is coming up? So there is that difference there. So it's also understanding your intention in your mind, but when you say it out, it may not relay that intention. It comes out wrongly, even though your intentions are good. Yeah.
Right. That's very true.
I fall in that pitfall too, because both of my girls do that too. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? Stop eating so much, please. Like, I do that as well. And I don't think like, well, yeah, she did have a rough day, or she did say that this happened. Be like, okay, maybe she's like you said with your daughter, just trying to, check their own emotions without us realizing what's actually going on. But I think us as moms, we typically just don't think about it because we're doing so much at one time that
we forget
that they are also regulating their own emotions and what they're going through.
Yes. And especially if you are parenting younger children, it's a good thing to also teach them how to express feelings. And then Yolanda, actually, maybe we should teach our husband how to express feelings as well, Yolanda and Vanessa, because men, I know my husband is very introverted, even more introverted than me. And then the emotions don't come out until maybe when it's come out in a bad way, or, it takes a longer time. So I do help my kids, articulate the emotion. Like, for example, my daughter says, I am angry. So angry. Well, what is that angry, right? So we try and explore their story. What is actually angry? Is that then you learn that it could be just frustration. Sometimes it's just being tired and walking home from school after a hot day, so it's angry, but actually it's that physical exhaustion. So that word angry, you can use it to explore. Again, Vanessa, I hear you, moms are busy and all that, but it takes time. So when you help your children explore, when they say, I'm angry, I'm sad, and then they understand that so many facets to it, they'll be able to gain that self-awareness. So the next time, they want to say they're angry, they probably can say, oh, mom, actually, I'm just very, very tired. And I noticed that my daughter say that, and they might come back, in a half. Could be because something bad happened at school, could be just because they're tired, or could be they had an argument on the way home. So all those things. But if you just limit it to those simple words, angry, sad, and not explore further, we may never know what actually happened and that feeling can carry on unresolved.
That's true. Well, can you please, before you leave, give those that are listening and watching a few words of encouragement and advice pertaining to communications and going forward and just making things better?
Firstly, our story is not 100% correct. So this goes out to when even you feel that you are correct, it's always just our story. We may be mostly correct, but if you take a step back and look at it, the other person's story has some validity to it as well. So it's not about coming in and fighting, it's coming in to understand. So you are not perfect. Your story is just your story for that particular situation. There is always the other side. And also understanding your feelings. What feelings are happening here? Are you hurt? And if you are, how can you express that feeling in a way that the other person can understand? And you must also be open. Yeah. So I'm not saying that, you're probably thinking, Jenny's giving me so many things, I can't remember all this. Just remember that, see the good in the other person, even if it's a difficult conversation, because we are all ultimately just people trying to make things work in our lives. And you know, ultimately, I believe that everyone is good. It's just that sometimes we're stressed, we're overwhelmed, we carry mm-hmm. baggage, and then it all comes out wrongly. So just take your time to really see that person, you know, as a person you trust, as a person you love, and start from there. You know, what is going on in this person? He's normally not like this. So what happened today? And a lot of times we are also quite selfish. So it's like, oh, it's about me, right? Okay, are you attacking me here? So that's that identity thing. You're not being attacked. Sometimes people say things to you, it's coming from them, from something that's hurting them. It's not about you. And you happen to be standing there. And Vanessa, Yolanda, I'm sure you know that we hurt the people closest to us the most because they are there and we feel safe with them. And then that's when we lash out. So it's just to know that ultimately you care for that person. And then, you know, how to make things better is just to open up your mind to understand. Yeah, it's not about blaming. It's not about looking to the past. It's about looking forward and what you can build from today.
It's beautiful. It's well done. Thank you. And those also that are listening and watching, how can they find out more about you and follow you and get to know more about this wonderful lady that we have?
Thank you. You can find me on my website, River Life Coaching. I'm also on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, River Life Coaching or Jenny Toh, T-O-H. And I know that you guys will, you know, share all this on your social media. So I don't think I'll get lost. I should be able to be found.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you so, so very much, Jenny.
Thank you, Yolanda. Thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome. And to those of you who are watching and listening, please don't forget to follow us on our social media pages. And please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button, as we don't want you to miss out on any of our great guests or great topics. We want to thank you all for tuning in, and we will talk to you all later.